Bertemu kembali, penerbitan sukuk global dijangka meningkat pada 2021 susulan pengukuhan pada 2020. Menurut Fitch Ratings, penerbit mengambil peluang untuk biayai hutang yang matang dan belanjawan yang besar pada 2021. Dalam masa yang sama, laporan 2020 sukuk supply resilient with momentum to continue into 2021. Fitch turut menjangka kerajaan kekal jadi penyumbang volume dan penerbit kali pertama, institusi kewangan dan korporat turut meningkat tahun ini. Ia turut lapor penerbitan sukuk dengan tempoh matang lebih 18 bulan daripada negara kerjasama teluk Malaysia, Indonesia, Turki dan Pakistan jatuh 19% tahun ke tahun pada 2020. Ia juga melaporkan terbitan oleh penerbit dengan unjuran negatif turut naik kepada 23% susulan COVID-19 dan harga minyak rendah. Ikuti rakaman temubual saya dengan Ketua Global Kewangan Islam Fitch Ratings, Bashar Al-Nattur. Bashar, thank you for joining us. Now, according to your report, sukuk issuance with maturities of more than 18 months fell slightly in 2020. At the same time, bond volumes increased by 25%. What happened there? And what was the trend in quarter four of 2020?
Thank you very much for having me. I think the key reason behind this is that when sovereign, there was a hiccup, I would say, in issuance, whether on the sukuk side or on the bond sides in countries where Islamic finance is active and sukuk and bonds are active. Now, when the market came back, we saw sovereigns coming with big tickets of issuing bonds rather than issuing bonds and sukuk, which is normal because the bond market is deeper and it takes more time for the sukuk market to stabilize. We saw even a price differential in the yields between sukuk and bonds, which historically was having a very high correlation. And in March and April of 2020, we saw that yield widening until the central banks came in countries where sukuk and Islamic banking is active and pumped money there. And then it came back and it's normalized to the same levels that having almost the same, the yields differential between bonds and sukuk is becoming narrow and the correlation is high to normal. So that is the key reason, having mainly big sovereigns like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, like Abu Dhabi, issuing big tickets, big tickets bonds. And that big ticket inflated the number of bonds versus sukuk. However, if you look at the number of transactions, I think what we saw in 2020 was good.
Mm-hmm. And but quarter four? What was the trend in quarter four 2020? Did it improve? Did sukuk become better?
The thing is, it started actually improving from Q2 to Q3 and to Q4, the trend continued. And we expect that trend to continue in 2021. So the thing is, when you're looking at sukuk and the numbers that we were looking at, we're looking at 18 months and above, and mainly for US dollar. If you look at court local currency, you'll find that Saudi Arabia, even in March and in April and the other months, they were issuing local Saudi riyal sukuk. So there was issuance, there was movement throughout the year. However, as things became more, I would say, adjustable to the investors and to the issuers, and they've adjusted to the starting of a new norm, if you can call it that, because we're still trying to build that new norm, then we saw more stabilization and come back to the issuance of sukuk.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of new norms, yeah, many countries are still battling COVID-19 and perhaps would require funds to help support their economies. What top three trends with regards to sukuk issuance do you foresee in 2021?
Good. I think there is few drivers, as you correctly mentioned. Many of the top countries where Islamic finance and sukuk is active, they need to fund budget deficits that are wider than before COVID-19. That we expect many of these sovereigns to come with sukuk and bonds. So that is a key trend. The other trend also is you have many of the countries that are oil exporters, and due to the fluctuation and the volatility in the oil prices, the projections for the average oil prices in 2021 is $45 and 2022 is $50. Thus, that also will put the pressure to issue bonds and sukuk, and that is another factor that is driving that. The third factor, which is the low interest environment, which is actually making banks take advantage of that environment and issuing also sukuk and bonds in countries where Islamic finance are active. And maybe I can add a fourth dimension, which is on the corporate side, due to the actually liquidity situation in many of the countries where Islamic banking is active and Islamic finance is active, the banks are becoming more picky in lending. That is causing corporates to look to diversify their funding, and we could see a gradual pickup also in corporate sukuk issuance, which was not that significant in 2020.
But did issuers come up with new types of sukuk or new projects to you know, fund with the sukuk in 2020? How did investors respond to these new types?
Okay, that's a very good question. We've actually rated the first tier two sukuk in 2020. We've rated the first green sukuk coming from Saudi Arabia corporate in 2020. We have sustainable sukuk, green sukuk, hybrid sukuk, also hybrid sukuk, which is subordinated for agic projects. As you can see, they are becoming more innovative in terms of widening the offering of sukuk. So instead of just having senior and secured, which is the vast majority of sukuk historically, we've seen issuers to diversify their investor pool and widening it, trying to tap into the other pockets of sustainable, green, tier two, subordinated, and hybrid. And that is having a big development to the industry. So it's not only about volumes, it's actually the diversity of instrument and the depth of the market in terms of providing various options.
We're seeing more countries aiming for recovery in 2021. Is there room for innovations when it comes to sukuk issuance in 2021?
I mean, the thing is, I think is the Islamic finance industry in general is an innovative industry because it came at the back of a need of issuers and investors to have something that they can issue and invest in that is Islamic finance. And I think innovation has been there for some time in the industry. As we mentioned, they're trying now to explore more and wide instruments and wide variety of instruments, whether green or sustainable or subordinated, but also you have to keep in mind one of the limitations that the industry is facing, which is standardization. So yes, you have a lot of innovation, but the industry still is striving to achieve some standardization, which will attract a wider international investor, and it will make it easier for issuers to issue. And that is something that there is a lot of countries that are working on. I mean, if you look at the local market in Malaysia specifically, they've done a good job in terms of standardization and harmonization. Now there is initiatives in the UAE and Dubai to do that on a global level. Let's see if that's going to be a successful endeavor.
Briefly on the standardization, because I think the last time I also covered Islamic finance extensively was some of the issues were standardization of rules and regulations with regards to Sharia differing from one country to another. What is the gap right now between the ideal or the standard, the golden standard to the real situation on the ground right now?
I think the key thing is to find that gold standard that's accepted by many countries, many issuers and many investors. So the actual issue that in some countries you don't have one gold standard. In Malaysia, they have a centralized Sharia board, they have centralized bodies. In other countries, they just established centralized Sharia board and trying to work toward that. So having the word gold standard, I think, is key because we are having it in few countries on a national level. There are some organizations like IOFI, IFSB, and others that are trying to do it on a regional and international level. And still, we were not yet there despite their efforts. So I think having that gold standard first locally, then regionally, and then internationally is still there, although we've seen efforts toward that, but we're not yet there.
And because of COVID-19, many domestic factors and many domestic factors, many countries went through rating downgrades, including Malaysia. Did this affect the attractiveness of sukuk issued by these countries? What about sukuk issued by Malaysia?
Okay, so it's not actually in 2020. If I look at the top 10 countries, you will find that Malaysia, Bahrain, and other countries were downgraded. So it's not only Malaysia. And if I can share with you the trend of the volumes that we've seen in the global Sukuk portfolio that we rate, we actually have around 81% of our portfolio as investment grade, and the remaining is speculative grade. We did not see what is called falling angels, i.e. Sukuk going from investment grade to sub-investment grade significantly in 2020. However, what happened is the majority of Sukuk, more than 98%, were actually on stable outlook in Q4 2019, and that drastically went down to just more than 75% in end of 2020. So you can see there is a lot of pressure in terms of the not only the ratings outlooks, but also the actual operating environment, as you said. One additional thing, yes, we saw in investors becoming more picky at some point in time and just pursuing, I would say, the investment grade and becoming more selective on that. But I would say the appetite in general, not only in Sukuk, there is a market for both of them that we've seen a pickup. And in Sukuk, many of them, even if they were sub-investment grade, they were oversubscribed. So I would say that is something that is having an impact, but I don't think it's unique to the Sukuk market.
Still attractive even when equity markets, some of equity markets are recording highs, record highs during the December and also January?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to, when you're looking at the Sukuk market, there is two factors that you need to look at. The first one is investors usually look for risk and return. So at the end of the day, it is the appetite of investor and the allocation for risk and return that they have. The second point is there is in the developed market and with the low with the low interest rate environment, the search for yield is still there. So if you are a fixed income investor and you have an allocation to the fixed income and you want to diversify, that market is there. And you're not talking about a market that is, I would say specifically in the Sukuk market, that is huge. It is really small when it comes to the big picture of the debt capital market and debt securities in general. So what we've seen is when the vast majority of Sukuk that has been issued, even in 2020, they were oversubscribed. So the market is there, the investor appetite is there. Now, the cost, the pricing, the timing, the challenge, the credit risk, all of that is factor that you need to look at case by case basis.
Mm-hmm. And what is the outlook for Sukuk issued by Malaysia in 2021? What are some of the headwinds do you foresee in 2021?
Okay, I mean, Malaysia has been in a unique situation compared to other countries because they have a very developed local currency market. And Malaysia is usually, whether on the sovereign side or financial institution or corporate side, they are more tapping into the local market where Sukuk actually represents more than 60% of the debt capital market and bonds is just around 40%. So it's a mature, evolved market in terms of the local market. Now, tapping into the international market was, I would say, in the past few years, was very selective and very few names. You have the sovereign doing a transaction every few years. You have some corporates going for international issuance, but we did not see a lot of issuance internationally coming to that. So what we expect for 2021, we might see some more coming from the private sector or non-sovereign sector there. Is the sovereign going to select and opt for issuing a Sukuk this year or not? That is something yet to be seen. But I would say the trend historically has been, specifically in the past few years, focusing more on the local debt capital market and local Sukuk issuance.
On that note, we thank you very much, Bashar, for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awan untuk pagi ini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awan untuk perkembangan terkini dalam dan juga luar negara, terutama berkenaan dengan Presiden baru Amerika Syarikat Joe Biden dan juga naik Presiden Kamala Harris. Saya Rizal Zulkifli. Salam hormat.